الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. أما بعد، اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. One of the things that we don't often pay a lot of attention to, especially when we lived in very industrialized societies, is agriculture. And agriculture is such a huge industry. Right? So it's a tremendous amount of, it sustains the entire world. It's astonishing, like you go to Spain, and you drive there on the roads, you know, for hours and hours across the Spanish mountainsides, and you just see, miles and miles as far as your eye can see, olive groves, and full of olive trees. And you just imagine, you know, who presses all that oil, takes out the oil, but they're supplying a large portion of the oil of the entire world. You go to I used to live in the Midwest, so you're in Chicago, and then I had moved to St. Louis. So every time we'd go back to Chicago, there was somewhat of a lackluster drive. If anyone has driven in the Midwest, they know it's just flat, right? And you look right, there's nothing to really look at. You look left, there's not really anything to look at. But it's just miles and miles and miles of cornfields or wheat fields, almost like for a good portion of the way. So then there's that. And you have to understand that, there's a whole science behind crop yield, and it's billions, and if not trillions of dollars that are sustaining the entire world. Right? When we think about food, we just think about, fast food, or we're going to feed it. There's so many layers beyond where all of this actually comes from, which is, just the fields, really. Right? It comes down to something as simple as that, and it's very easy to neglect that. And so for people who are in that field, one of the things that's very important for them, there's many different factors. They look at machinery, how to increase productivity. There's things which are out of their hands, right? Whether or not we get slapped by tariffs. There's certain things which are, what the weather's gonna be like. But then there's certain things that they say, how do we optimize the produce from a particular, batch? And one of the very important factors, is the seed, right? It's the seed that you put in. And, now in the age of genetic engineering and stuff, you have genetically modified organisms. And, I have had people, vehemently tell me that I should say that it's not okay, not permissible in Islam. And really, we don't know enough yet. And that's one of the things that we have to appreciate that to really pass a ruling, sometimes it's going to lag behind science because you have to know what you're passing a ruling against before you pass a ruling for or against something. You have to be objective about it and you have to be fair about it. And there's a lot of emotion, which is sort of wrapped up around these, people who feel like they have to be organic, and he's like, no, there's a scientific paper, right? And then I look at the paper, and he was sending me these papers and these links. I mean, he was all really gung ho, and it looks bad, because they think the Moli Sahib has to be organic, right? Everything has to be halal. So how can anything genetically modified be, halal, and we're going to destroy our progeny? So he sends me some paper, and I don't know, it's like International Journal of Buha or something. It's like, that's not real science, right? It doesn't really, make muster. But anyway, I understand Monsanto and, big agriculture and, there's a lot of politics and, I get that. But at the same time, it comes down to some basic factors, which is, you put in a good seed, right? You're going to get good crops. And you put in, seeds which are bad, you're going to get you know, you might not get such a good crop. So one of the things that you try to optimize is try to get the best seeds that you can, and try to plant those when the time is right and when all of those factors come together, and then you have to watch it, and then hopefully, inshallah, there's good harvest. Now, can you imagine, and I had read about this a long time back, so I don't remember all the details about it, but I just found it very interesting because it's often a sector that we ignore. But I was just thinking, I mean, how ludicrous it is for someone. So they, you know, they plant mango seed, like they plant for tomatoes, and then, you know, they're waiting and they're waiting, and then after, you know, harvest, much long when it's time to harvest, they're like, what is this, mint? We're supposed to get tomatoes. Well, if you wanted to get tomatoes, you should have planted tomatoes, right? You can't plant mint, right, and expect to get tomatoes. It's just, forget about optimizing your harvest. That's like, it devolves into absurdity that you plant something and then you expect something else. And this speaks to the idea of that we reap what we sow. And the same thing applies to the deen. That a lot of times we expect, you know, results, certain results. And when we don't get them, we're like, oh my God, you know, why am I not getting X, Y, and Z results? Then maybe we should look at what is the seed that we planted, right? And that's actually where we should start. So for example, you are starting an organization and things aren't going well and there's just no barakah in it. And, you know, you're like, okay, what's going wrong? One of the places that you should start is we go back and, you know, in the corporate world, we call this root cause analysis, right? Something goes wrong, then you do a systemic, you know, you do a SWOT analysis, and you do a very famous hadith that Imam Bukhari, rahimahullah, he starts his sahih with, is إِنَّمَا الْعَمَالُ بِالنِّيَاتِ وَإِنَّمَا لِكُلِّ مِّمَّا نَوَى. And this ikhtilaf amongst the ulama, what this refers to. So that was, I mean, the ahnaf, they say, إِنَّمَا, what's that called? ثَوَابُ الْعَمَالِ بِالنِّيَاتِ. That the reward of the intention, of the action are dependent on the intention. And then the Shawafi, for example, they say, إِنَّمَا صِحَةُ الْعَمَالِ بِالنِّيَاتِ. They say something has to be muqaddar, there are some things implied. Because obviously, like, I mean, think about it. If you take it in a very literal sense, it doesn't make any sense. That's like saying, so I give food to a poor person. So, and if a person didn't have niyyah, did that action not occur? You can't negate the existence of an action due to the absence of an intention. So obviously the hadith wasn't meant to be taken literally. Something else was being implied. And the whole ikhtilaf sort of comes on, you know, what was implied. And there's a lot of ancillary ramifications about which interpretation that you take. So for example, according to the Ahnaf, if you go and jump in the ocean and you come out, technically you have wudu. Right? Because even if you didn't have intention, you just got it because you washed everything that you had to wash. So the amal is done. You won't get thawab for it because the hadith says, إِنَّمَا الْعَمَالُ بِالنِّيَاتِ يَعْنِي the thawab of the amal are with the niyyah. So you won't get any thawab for it. But technically, if you jumped in the pool, right, and you got out and you prayed, your salah is intact. The shawafi say no. Right? No, you didn't have intention. And then the ahnaf say, well, let's think about it this way. When you say you wash your clothes, when you wash your clothes have to be pure for salah. So say there's impurity in your clothes and you just washed it. You didn't wash it for the prayer. Then how come over there you say that, you know, the prayer counts and that your clothes are purified, but then when you wash your body, it doesn't count? How does that make sense? And then they can make the contra argument that this is an ubudiyyah and that's just, you know, anyway, there's arguments that keep on going. But the idea of, the root, the seed, being intention. You know, one of my teachers, one time, I think they were trying to build a madrasa. I think they were building a masjid. And they're trying so hard, making so many sacrifices, the work is just not getting done. So there was another sheikh with him, and he said, you know, sheikh so-and-so, he says, right? He says, the work is not getting done, let's just sit and start making tawbah. Because you know what he said? He said that, let's not even worry about the root cause analysis. We must be doing something wrong. Something is fasid over there. Let's just make tawbah and start, you know, rectifying it. And that was used to be the attitude of our elders, right? They wouldn't, and they said, let's just make tawbah and rectify the seed. right? Because sometimes, once it's like dug in the ground, sometimes it's not very easy to dig it back up and really know why you were doing it. You know, it gets very murky, right? If you start really doing a psychoanalysis of yourself, you know, why am I really doing it? So that was one aspect of this, is that we reap what we sow, so plant the right seeds. And if you're not getting the harvest that you expect, then go back and try to inspect the seed that you put in. And maybe if that can be rectified, then you'll get the crop that we were expecting. The second aspect, I guess, of this is that each one of us is a gardener. And we're trying to actually make a beautiful garden. And it's in a place called Jannah. Jannah is exactly that, right? It's a garden. The whole idea of Jannah is being a garden. Now, I mean, I've been so busy for the past, decade. I don't know how long, but I've never really had a chance to actually, garden. Even though, people say it's very relaxing and it's very therapeutic and stuff. I have colleagues who have amazing gardens, right? Our chair, I don't know if she has like 80 different types of orchids, and I don't know if she has a greenhouse. I mean, and that's what they do. Sundays, like, just gardening, and they're in the garden. Clearly, I mean, I've never had that for a long, long time. I haven't had that opportunity to garden because it just takes so much time. And it takes so much effort, and you have to like watch over it, and you have to be careful, and you have to keep on checking the plants and making sure that the animals don't eat it up, and you know that there's no disease on there. I mean, I try to keep so many, like everything's autopilot pretty much, and try to keep things like very simple. But it'd be nice. Right. It'd be nice to have a garden. And what is the thing that keeps me away from it? It's just don't have the time, right? Because it takes a lot of effort, time and effort. So if you're trying to make a garden in Jannah, it's the same thing. It's not going to happen for free, right? It's not like you can sort of employ, Mr., Juarez to go and do your gardening over there and then you're just going to go and reap it over there. Right? It doesn't work that way. We have to put some time. Right? We have to invest. And the seeds that we'll put in right now, inshallah, those are the ones that you're going to get when you're over there. So if you go to Jannah, right, and you look over and you see Ahmed, and he has the super, super, super mega mansion in Jannatul Firdaus in the uber, exclusive neighborhood of the Sahaba, you're like, hey, how come I don't have that street address in Jannah? You didn't plant the seed. Right? And it's interesting, that's going to be our permanent address. You know what, like, that's the other thing. I mean, when I was in medical school, I moved like more times than it's probably healthy for anyone to move. You move from here to here and here to here and here. We just lived like gypsies. You know, I mean, the longest we actually settled on somewhere for a while was like in St. Louis, which was a modicum of stability for the kids. But then after that, then they're uprooted and they're in Zambia, and then they're coming here and they're living in their daddy's house, and they're coming. And so finally, for 1 year, we've actually been sitting in one place, and then like already my wife's like, I think we're just thinking of already making our life more simple. Miriam's like, no, stop guys. We're just like, can you guys just calm down and stay in one place? Because we're always sort of been on the move. What was I trying to tell you guys about this? What's that?
Permanent residence.
Yeah. So, but if you have the intention, you're actually going to stay somewhere. So that's the difficulty. Now, what do you put for your mailing address when you're applying for your board license, or like where do they send it? Because you're like, you don't know where you're going to be there next year, and you're like, okay, I'll just put whatever, and you try to manage it, and things are going in all these different directions. But if you have a permanent address, it feels great. Right? There's so much stability in there. And so if that's our permanent address, that's the one that we should invest the most amount of time on, right? The most amount of time to see how can we have the most beautiful garden. We were actually looking for houses. I mean, it's nice to have a nice house, but after a certain point, I mean, the house is the house. One of the things that I found very attractive was there were certain properties with these, just really amazing gardens. And you think that, you just sit in the garden and you just forget about the world type of thing. So And you're like, I don't, in the amount of planning, the amount of thinking to go through, actually, you know, create those type of gardens, it's not very simple. There's an art even to making a garden, right? The way that you tier it, the way that you make aesthetically, which plants you put, you know, how do you create depth? How do you create space? Arrange the different colors, all of this coming together to make, you know, this holistic, you know, garden. It takes so much planning. But so few are the people who will plan for their garden paradise like that, right? They'll like say, no, I'm gonna have my sadaqah garden right there. And then, you know, next to that, the zakah garden. Because, you know, zakah and sadaqah are both mal, so it'll be nice, you know, they'll be right next to each other. And then, you know, inshallah, I'll make my, you know, fasting garden. But then I'm also gonna try to fast from dunya. And so I'll put those two together and, you know, I'll put that in the background. I mean, you can plan it and make the garden there, just as aesthetically beautiful. So that was another, another lesson, is to try to, keep in mind that that's the garden that we are building and try to create as beautiful of a garden as we possibly can. The other aspect of this is, so today I had to, I ran to Home Depot after God knows how long. I don't go there very often, but I went over there, and this topic actually came up, so it's actually very ripe in my mind. I told my wife, I was like, I feel like planting something. I just want to plant something in the house. And she's like, you're going now. We'll take care of it when we come back, right? We'll see if that happens. But we did go into the garden section. So we did go into the garden section. And going to the garden section, I saw two big signs, right? So they had one sign, it says annuals, right? And it had another sign, and it says perennials. And perennials, I mean, as I understand it, are plants that bloom at a certain time for a certain period of time every single year, and they'll come back every single year, but they don't bloom the entire year. And then annuals are technically in bloom the entire year. So I thought that that was very telling, because the state of a lot of people's iman is also like that, right? You have your perennials, which, you know, they bloom in Ramadan. They bloom on Jummah. They bloom, you know, when they come to the masjid. They bloom after an umrah, right? And then after a while, then they just wither away and then they're gone. So much so that you can't even see the traces. It's just not there. It's there underneath the hood. They're there, but you can't see it anymore. And then, you know, something happens and it comes back. And part of I told my wife, as soon as I saw it, I said, what am I going to do with perennials? We should get an annual. Right? Because, I mean, it was just a no-brainer to me. I was like, why would you want a perennial? You can only see it for 2-3 months. You know, other than the selection is, you know, there's different types of flowers which are perennials. But besides that, I said, if you want something, let's try to pick the most beautiful annual that we can. So that part of that, the lesson, I guess, in there was for me is that we have to try to become annuals in terms of our Islam. That our Islam is always in bloom. Not that it becomes sort of, there are ups and downs, right? That's going to happen. But we try to keep our iman vibrant and verdant in such a way that there's always the athar, or the effects which of our iman that are showing. And the way they'll show is through our actions. Okay, so the last lesson from this theme is that We know intention is important, but one of the things, recently we started Riyadh al-Salihin with one of my classes, and I was reading the Muqaddama of Imam Nawawi, and, you know, it really struck me. His spirituality speaks through, I mean, he put the Sahih together, but his Muqaddama, you really get an idea of his psychology. And he was such a son of the Akhirah. You know, his whole mentality was just about, he's like, guys, what are you doing? You know, like, This place is leaving us. We shouldn't invest over here. We should get serious about our akhirah. The best way to get serious about our akhirah is to follow the way of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And that's why I put these sahih hadith for everyone together, so that we can start doing this. And I mean, that's sort of the background for Riyadh al-Salihin. But then I was thinking about it. A lot of times the discussion of intention always is with regards to particular actions, Right? So what is your intention when you're praying? What's your intention when you came to the masjid? When is that intention when you gave sadaqah? So it's very micro level. One of the things that we don't think about a lot is, if these seeds, right, these are seeds that you're planting, what is the intention for life? Right? Think at the very macro level, at the most sort of essential or basic level, you should also have an intention for life. Why am I living? And a lot of people don't know. Right? They don't know why they're living. So if you take a couple step backs, and then you think, what is the seed that I should plant for my life? Because if you plant that right seed over there, and that tree starts to grow, then all the branches will give fruit that you'll taste in the akhirah. Right? But if the first seed itself was if you put the seed for a cactus, then you're going to keep on getting pricked every time you go outside, right? Every step of the way. So it's that ultimate bifurcation, right? Forget about all the other actions. What is the intention for life? And just going back to the Muqaddama that I was speaking about, and this was one of the verses I think was a game changer for myself in my life. And when I came across the fact that Imam Nawawi was also saying the same thing, it was just like in these parallel paths. I mean, where was he in a different time, different era? But it's sort of the same thing that was at the forefront of his mind, and sort of the same thing in 21st century America, on the streets of Chicago, was shaping a young man's life, in a different direction. And he quotes the ayah, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. He said that I made you, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, I have not created jinn in mankind except that they should worship me. Right? It's liya'buduni actually, right? You drop the ya, so that you can worship me. So when we think about what our life should all be about, our life all should just be about ibadah. And how many people can honestly say that my whole life, that's just my goal in life. I just want to do ibadah. Fun is a goal. Working out is a goal, entertainment is a goal, having fun is a goal, getting a better house is a goal, moving up in a career is a goal, making money is a goal, keeping our head above the water is a goal. We have so many goals, but how many people can say that, yeah, Allah, I didn't really want anything out of life, I just wanted to worship you, right? I didn't care about anything else. The person who can make that initial seed of ibadah will have the most beautiful garden in the akhirah. That is the way that you make the most, because you know what? When you do that, right? When you do that, you make that initial intention, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes on himself to be your gardener. Right? He will prepare the garden through the tawfiq that he'll give you, from the fadl that he'll put down on you, from the rahmah that he will bestow upon us, in such a way that we ourselves may be astounded about what we see in the akhirah. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that, you gave yourself for me, then I'll suffice you. Right? Kafani Allah, Allah is enough for me. Hasbunallah wa ni'mal wakeel. So, that's sort of the secret. That's the secret to make the best. And in the beginning we talked about the more pure that, or the better seed that you put in, the better crop you get. The more pure that your seed is of that, I just want my life to be about ibadah and nothing else, the more beautiful the harvest will be in the akhirah. Right? That much is for sure. So, and what that means, that our life is just for ibadah, don't get me wrong. It doesn't mean, okay, drop your day job and drop out of school and come to the masjid. Come to the masjid, but you don't drop out of school. What ibadah means is that you make Allah the focus of your life. In a simple way, in Western vernacular, we would say that making your life about ibadah is making Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala first. So you don't worry, for example, oh, I need friends, and I don't have any friends. No problem, Allah's my friend. You don't worry that I'm poor, and they have this and this, and I don't have it. You're like, don't worry, alhamdulillah, I'm going to have my maghrib salah, I'll get to speak to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What do I need all of this for? It's an Allah-centric life, where everything revolves on Allah, what makes Allah happy, what brings me closer to Allah, what did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala want me to do at this particular time, how do I express my love for Allah, how do I manifest my fear of Allah by staying away from those things that He told me not to do, or to stay away from those things that will make me go far away from Him, how do I obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in every moment of my life. This, you know, this whole focus thing, if a person can do that, then you would say that that person is living their life, a life of ibadah. It's two things, so focus, and then the thing has to be done according to the rules that Rasulullah set forth, you know, like in his sunnah. You can, for example, say that, yeah, I'm going to, what's that called? I don't know, I mean, it's not against, but like, you know, I'm going to become hardcore now, I'm divorcing my wife and abandoning my kids, right? I'm taking off, I'm going to sit in the mountains. That's not sunnah, right? That's not the idea. So we avoid this, what's it called, pendulum-like actions of going from one extreme to another extreme. Sometimes, you know, people hear this talk, and they get all excited. Like, that's it, man. I'm done with the dunya. I'm just going and doing it for Allah. I'm all going to be all about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that's it. You know, that's it. I'm done. Well, that's good, right? Be done inside here, right? And then look at how the Rasulullah lived his life. Right, and what was he about? And the more that you can make our lives, and you know, in the end of the day, the huge irony is, you might not end up changing that many things in your life. You might still end up having to get up and go to work every single day. You might still have a lot of the same friends. Probably you'll have the same wife and the same kids. You know, it's like, a lot of the things are not going to change, but what will change is your attitude. Right? The way that you perceive the same things. You know, there was a poem in Arabic, they said that something to affect lil usfuri afaqun wa li shaheenin afaqun akhar, that for the sparrow there's one type of horizon and for the falcon there's a different horizon. They're both flying in the sky, right? They're both living life, but what they see and what they experience is completely different. So there will be one person who will be at work and he's just worried about, man, my boss is going to have my neck, how am I going to get that promotion, and this guy's going to backstab me, so how am I going to plot so I can sap him first before he gets in my mid-ranking promotion eval, and I'm going to undercut him. And the whole day is about that. And then when he goes to sleep, he's thinking about, okay, she's going to do that, so I need to preempt her. It's like life is one big chess game. Right? There's another person who goes to work, he's like, man, I only have, you know, 1.5 hours left for Zuhr. I need to make Zuhr. I hope I can catch Asr. And you know, he's doing the same job, but his heart is somewhere else. Right? And if we can make that type of shift, then you can have your cake and eat it too. Right? So we pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes us amongst the people who are able to have the most expansive and the most aesthetically pleasing and splendid of gardens in the Akhirah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us to be in the vicinity of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the Akhirah, in the gardens of paradise. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala purge the seeds that we've planted in our life of all type of impurities and give us a harvest that would create awe in the eyes of the person who beholds it. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive us for any type of khalal and any type of deficiencies that we've brought in either our actions or our intentions. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillah rabbil alameen.